Last night, Isle of Man TT races confirmed the loss of Raul Torres Martinez following an incident in the Super Twin race. Our heartfelt condolences go to Raul's family, loved ones and friends. Raul was competing in his fifth TT and was a regular competitor in road races around the world. The racers pay their respects to a fallen comrade in their own way by continuing to race on.
Welcome to the Isle of Man TT Races 2023. Today it's the turn of the Carol Nash Super Twin class. Race one of two is on the way, but first up, here's a look at what happened in this class last season.
These lads are absolutely wringing the necks of these machines in an effort to outdo each other. So on the way into Hanley's, he threads the needle, which he's about to do through here, left, right between that wall.
Dunlop in the lead from Hickman. It keeps swapping back and forth. It is so close. Tucked in again. But Michael Dunlop, he's sat up on the bike. Shocker.
That doesn't sound healthy. They've obviously got a mechanical issue. But there's Paul Jordan, and he's only just over a second off his first ever TT podium. He'll be pushing very hard.
On to the start, finish straight now. Oh, little wave across, he's super relaxed. It is a three-peat for Peter Hickman. Third win of the week here at the 2022 TT. He takes the Super Twin. Peter Hickman, it's his eighth TT win. His third this week, he takes the Super Twin.
Yes, one of Peter Hickman's four wins from last year was in the Super Twin race. But do we think he can do it again this year? Because he's been having a few troubles with his bike, some engine issues. He did manage to get out in the warm-up lap this morning, but will that have set him back, Steve?
Yeah, he was on the back foot when he arrived. The bike wasn't ready. Some parts arrived. He managed to get it going. He did, got to fifth gear and blew an engine. They got a new engine for the next practice, and then he managed, I think, about 10 miles, and that one failed. So he's been out this morning. They've found the problem. He's done a good lap this morning, in all fairness, so he has qualified to race. So it's as much a test as it is a race for Hickey today.
Not the way he would have wanted to start it, Matt.
No, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of pace they're able to get up to tonight, isn't it, Steve, on the Super Twin. In the meantime, the man who's been setting the pace has been Michael Dunlop, who has to go into this now as a clear favourite.
Massive favourite, you know. When you say, obviously, get on the pace tonight, it's going to be a little bit difficult. The sun's going to be coming down quite low, which will be aggro for a lot of the riders. Yeah. You know, hopefully the race is going to go on time. But however, Michael's had some problems as well in practice. You know, he's done an engine already. So yeah. I've just had a quick word with Gary Ryan. I said, I hope you're telling that boy to keep the RPM down, because if it goes wrong, we could see Jamie Coward getting his first win.
Yeah, it could be. Actually, yes, that's a great point. If things do go wrong for Michael, not just Jamie Coward, there's a couple of guys in the mix there for potentially for a win.
There is. The Patton's the favourite bike, really. You've got Coringa, he's on one of Ian Locker's bikes, Benetti. You've got Josh Brooks on a very good bike. So there's going to be a good showing from various different riders, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, as Steve mentioned, the sun is low, but it is out. So course conditions in general are very good and quite different to how they were earlier on today when the roads were closed and Cam went out to take a closer look.
As a motorcycle racer, if you want to test your skill, your machine and your bravery, try the Isle of Man TT course. 3.75 miles, and it has it all. Here on a tight turn with a bus stop, up to the mountain section with the most high-speed linking turns of any race course in the world. tight as the apex of Union Mills is, the Super Twins today will still be going through there at just on 100 miles an hour. They've got to pick the throttle up as early as they dare in third gear to carry maximum drive off this long left-hand bend for the flat-out run all the way up to Ballygarry. Course conditions today are good. It's mild, it's dry, and it's really dry on all the tight apexes of corners, which is what the Super Twins are going to want, because boy, do they carry some corner speed.
When the lights go out, my light will only shine brighter. My light will only shine brighter.
Thanks, Cam. Well, the course conditions have definitely changed slightly since this morning. The sun is certainly out and we're minutes away from the start of the Carroll Nash Super Twin TT. Matt's on the grid now, catching up with some of the riders.
I'd actually quite like to get a quick word with Paul Jordan, if that's all right, Paul. I'll lean across the jenny. How are you feeling for this one, mate? You got a podium here last year and it's one of those classes, isn't it? You never quite know.
Yeah, that's it. You know, just as long as we finish, you know, we never know what could happen in the race with these twins. They're that highly tuned, you know, they're ticking time bombs. So, you know, if we're in there with a fight at all, you know, we never know where we could be at the end of the lap three. So, yeah, I'm up for it. I'm ready to get stuck in.
Is it one of those where you've got to kind of think about the bike while you're riding it as well in terms of being mechanically sympathetic?
Yeah, you definitely do. You know, you just can't go out here and just go from third to first going in a corner, you know, and back shifts just blow the thing to pieces. So, yeah, I'm going to look after it, but as much as I can as such, you know, I'm still going to rip out of it.
Good man.
Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, Paul. All right, let's go a little bit further back then and see who else is around here, because it's such a beautiful evening here on the Isle of Man. People have come from all over to watch, of course. There's Rob Hodson. Why don't we have a quick word? Oh, no, he's talking to the radio. We'll leave Rob alone. Obviously, he's the favourite for the race. Michael Dunlop riding that pattern. And just behind him, a deal that was put together very late was Josh Brooks, because unfortunately the Daffabet team lost their rider to injury early in the qualifying week. Matt Stevenson and Josh Brooks came and jumped on in his place. And as you can see, Josh is now just about ready to go out. Let's just grab a real quick word, if we can, with Josh. If that's all right, Josh, quick word. Yeah. You weren't expecting to be riding this thing when you turned up here to the Isle of Man. How are you feeling about going out for the race?
Yeah, good. It's actually, you know, a smaller bike, a little easier to ride than the big ones to sort of ride you a bit. So I've actually got, you know, probably best potential of a good result on this bike, even though I wasn't expected to ride it. But unfortunately, Gary Johnson got injured before the event, so he isn't on the bike. And by some stroke of luck, he was starting off number 7, which is what I am for the other bikes as well. So we'll give it our best.
Good stuff up. It's lucky number 7 for Josh. OK, so it was Gary Johnson, of course, on the Super Twin. Matt Stevenson was riding the Super Sport bike for this team and was replaced by Dom Herbertson, who's going to be the first man on the road for this one, the Carroll Nash Super Twin race, 1 of 2 this week. Really looking forward to it. Back to you.
Both man and machine will be put through their paces when we come back after the break for the Carroll Nash Super Twin TT. We'll see you then. Welcome back to the Isle of Man and the Carroll Nash Super Twin TT. Dominic Herbertson starts at number 1 and he's been having a great week so far in the other races. We're about to get underway, so we'll go to the commentary box with Andrew Coley and Cam Donald.
First Super Twin race of the 2023 TT. Away from the line, it's Dominic Herbertson who leads us off on the Kawasaki Z650. This is twin cylinder bikes up to 700cc. And you can hear the difference immediately as we head down towards St Ninian's for the first time with Herbertson. Cam?
The parallel twin-cylinder engines have got such a unique tone. Paul Jordan there had his first TT podium in this class last year with a sensational third.
Now Jamie Calderway, now we can really hear it.
Yeah, you can. He's on the Kawasaki as well. That parallel twin got an awesome drone to them.
So there's a big difference here, isn't there, in power with these bikes compared to Super Sport, Super Stock, Super Bike. These are not as powerful. They're not as fast in a straight line, but they're also not as heavy. There must be a host of different ways you ride them as we see Michael Dunlop head off the line on the familiar number six.
Yep. Yeah, the bikes in this class, it's been around just over 10 years now, and it's sort of taken over from what used to be super light or 250 Grand Prix bikes, super twin. So the idea is it's a stepping stone to enter TT racing without that huge high performance of super sport. Bikes have evolved now and they're not that much slower.
Peter Hickman. Now Hickman again riding a bike not prepared by FHO in this category, so he prepares his own bike, doesn't he, in Super Sport, the Triumph. What about this one?
Yes, he does, and this year it's all new, the R7, which is a new bike to the class. Yamaha have entered the class, and it's quite exciting that he's really gone out on this new machine.
And this one's another Peter Hickman machine for him. He's prepping that himself as we go on board with Herbertson. The revs really rise there as he leans it over. And, I mean, we know that from the circumference of the tyre, but they write on the rev limiter a lot of the time in these.
Yeah, they've got to keep them on the boil. And the rev limit for the class is 11,000 RPM.
Mike Brown leaves the line on a Pattern S1R. It will become a very familiar machine to you if it's not already by the end of this race. Such a popular weapon. Sector times, Glenn Helen coming in. Dunlop, look, he's 5 seconds up the road, but it doesn't look like we've got the times the likes of Hickman and co through. Oh no, Mike Brown at 16 we have. So where's Hickman on that list? Off the pace, maybe?
Unusual not to see Pete Hickman in the top five in that first sector, but he's had very little time on this new R7 machine.
We're on board with Rob Hodgson looking back. This in the distance, closing in, and closing in fast like a missile is Michael Dunlop.
Here he comes over Solvi jump. That's wild. Now, since he exited Balaguerre, he would have been flat in top gear, Michael. A huge run in sixth gear building up to that launch.
Makes you realise how important the momentum is, doesn't it? He's leading Hickman at this point. Be very pleased to be back in front of him after they've had those brilliant battles so far this week. It's 2-1 to Dunlop. Here is Hickman. He's pushing hard too. Hickman's a big lad for these bikes. How much of a difference does it make how much you can tuck in behind the fairing?
Of course, it's all about corner speed, and with less horsepower, weight is crucial. So that's another thing that will go against Pete slightly in this class. Michael Rudder, another rider aboard the R7 for this year.
And where it's about momentum, I guess you don't want wheel spin on the exits, you don't want to overbrake, and I guess it's not, you know, you make a mistake on a superbike, you've got a couple of hundred horsepower to pull you out of that mistake. You make a mistake on these, you're paying for it through the whole of the next sector.
Exactly. Have a look at Michael here. See, it's all about flowing, carrying that speed into and through the corner. Here comes back Josh Brooks. Now, Josh wasn't scheduled to ride this class. He's jumped in place of Gaz Johnson, got hurt racing the Czech Republic in the lead up to the TT. So Josh is on that dapper bet, Kawasaki.
And here comes Hickman. He's Hickman, so he wasn't in there, now he appears. So now Hickman appears 2.7 off. And we're on board with Mike Brown. So there is the red piece of tape showing you just where the rev limit is. You said, Cam, 11,000.
And look where that needle is. That's right up close to it the whole time. What a fantastic onboard shot.
Brilliant, isn't it? I'm expecting to see that right on the limiter. Places like this coming through Kirkmichael.
Don the bomb, Herbertson. He's been going well all week and he's very good in this super twin class.
So in terms of braking, Cam, to me, you know, this class was called lightweight originally. You know, now it's super twin. But you were telling me, actually, they're not that much lighter than some of the bigger, you know, you might think heavier bikes.
No, that's right, but there's not much they don't change on these machines. They do come out of the factory quite heavy, if you like, but they change everything on them. They can change wheels, they can change subframe, they can change some engine internals, so they are heavily modified machines.
But still not super light.
No, they're not. The nature of them is they're still quite a heavy bike. So once again, it's all about carrying that momentum and speed with the lack of horsepower.
And top speed around, what, 155-ish?
Yeah, you are. I think Pete Hickman topped the timesheets last year, speed trap at about 161 on the pattern. So pretty close there, Andrew.
Pops a little wheelie on board with Hickman now. Now, Hickman this year is on a Yamaha. Last year, he wore a big head shake there. Last year, he won on a pattern. A pattern is not a name that's going to be familiar to all people that are watching this, Cameron. Why?
They're an Italian motorcycle manufacturer, and they specialise in this bespoke super twin bike, and they make some of the most impressive in the world. As we can see here, Michael Dunlop pulling out of the slipstream of Paul Jordan.
And he's on a pattern. Dunlop's on a pattern as he comes through.
Yep, he certainly knows how to make the best of it. Look at him here, really tucked down behind that small fairing. He's got to be the favourite in his class. He was blisteringly quick in practice. He was the strongest in the field last year before retiring with a mechanical issue, and he's really going to want to make amends from that as he uses all the road on the way out of Sulby Bridge.
I wonder if we might get to see the speed traps for this year. We'll see. Now you get Hickman. Not flashing past as quickly as it does on a superbike. No, it isn't. But 160 mile an hour is still fast enough on a public road. Let's not forget that.
We just saw flashing through there Pierre-Yves Bien, a French competitor, pattern mounted, very quick.
And here comes Pete Hickman as he comes up to the end of Sulby Straight. That should give us a nice little update on the speed trap. Dunlop, the quickest look, 159.8. Hickman doesn't appear in there, though. Pierre-Yves Bien, look, Josh Brooks, Paul Jordan, all within 9 mile an hour. Look at that, there's a little edge, isn't there, for at the top of the table there for Dunlop. Now on board with Brown. Look how close the needle is to that rev limit up at 11K.
That needle is pressed into the rev limiter the whole way down Sulby Straight.
Tucked in. Just there. Here we go. Look at that. Tucked right in as low as you dare. As low as you can get.
I'll tell you what, Mike Brown, he's a pint-sized package, that lad, and absolutely perfectly suited to this machine.
And third on the speed trap, 156 for him. Now up to Ramsey Hairpin. Herbertson leads us into here.
Yep, Dom, another quite a small rider, will fit on this machine well. Mike Rudder, not so small, but doing a great job anyway.
And all the way through Stella Maris there. Now we're with Josh Brooks.
We're more accustomed to seeing Brooksy aboard super bikes, but we forget that in past years he's been an incredible super sport rider, racing at world championship level quite successfully. So I think he's really relishing in this class.
Is it a good category to learn in, Cam? Because you say that the idea was that it's slightly cheaper, slightly slower, ran wide there at the hairpin.
Yep, Rob Hodson on the SMT entry.
Is it a good category for people to learn in, or has the tech now got to the point where it's so competitive against it? I mean, if you're going up against the likes of Dunlop and Hickman, you're still going to have to push like mad.
Brilliant class to come to the TET on, because it's about smooth, carrying that flowing line, and that's the key to going quickly at the Isle of Man. So it's a very relevant and brilliant class, in my opinion.
So then for someone more experienced, something I'd like to know about is the likes of Hickman and Dunlop, when they're riding all these classes, how do you swap between the bikes and still ride them the right way?
That's part of the challenge of being a TT racer. You need to adapt to the different class and know each one's strengths and weaknesses, and you need to tailor your riding to it.
Here comes Mike Brown. He's in P3. So Brown is in P3 at the minute then. Dunlop leads Coward by 12.9. Mike Brown. Steady on now. 1.5 back. So he's on the podium at the minute. That would be a brilliant result.
Well, can you imagine for that young lad, first ever TT podium is within his reach.
Yeah. Now, that thing is, that can make you get a bit twitchy, can't it? When you know it's there and you know there's a potential to get it, if it's your first one, are your team going to let you? Well, of course, they've got to give you the boards. I guess you're going to pick it up, aren't you? I'm in P3. You're going to know that it's potentially on the cards. Now yeah. We're seeing Herbertson's been caught. Sorry, Cam. Jamie Coward looking back. Going to try and find a way past Herbertson. There is Herbertson. So not first on the road now. Coward makes the pass.
Yeah, he's going very well. He cannot afford to be held up at any stage because he's riding in podium contention at the moment, Jamie. Yeah, Jamie stood on the podium before. He knows how good it feels. He'll want that again.
How much of a difference does a slipstream make on these, Cam, as we see Hickman up at the bungalow?
The less horsepower you've got, the more difference it makes. So it's absolutely crucial to make the most of that slipstreaming opportunity if you can.
Pierre Fian is a few seconds up the road from Hickman. At the minute, Coward at 11.6. Peter Hickman slots in, he slots into P3 at the minute. But remember, behind him on the road is this man, Mike Brown. So Hickman now into the top five. He wasn't back at Glen Helen. Here's Brown at the bungalow. Where does he go?
Oh, listen to that engine note. And quite a few different firing orders within the patterns of one 80-degree firing order, where it's a 270-degree crank firing order with the Yamaha. So quite different engine notes.
Different tones, big time. He's there. He's 3.4 off P2. So Mike Brown is very much still in the mix for this one. We're going to see a fantastic fight per second as we head into the pit stops on lap one.
Yep, I can hear Jamie Coward come in. He's about to come into pit lane here. It's a noisy bike, it really is. Mechanics are doing his arms, waving him into his tape spot in the pit lane. We'll see how he gets on when he pulls on. So these are going to be really quick. Michael Rutter swoops around the outside. Looks quite relaxed. He's not complaining about anything. Quick drink. We've also got Michael Rutter in. Coward's looking good. These are going to be quick. 20 seconds or so for this pit stops. There's some fuel getting flagged around. Coward away and got a nice quick pit stop. We're going to walk away down. There's Michael Dunlop there just setting off back. Yep. There's Pete Hickman's in the pits. I said Michael had been in. Michael had no problems whatsoever. Quite a quick pit stop, just fuel roaming, didn't change of eyes or anything. Pete's looking quite relaxed in all fairness down there, just chatting away to the boys. I'm just waiting here for Brownie because obviously this is quite big news. I've had quite a lot of bad luck through the event so far with mechanical issues, but on the twin, seems to be going quite well, and Brownie's really kind of proven himself and working his way through and doing some great times and coming along nicely. It would be really great to see this guy on the podium. But it sounds like we've got a bike coming in now. Is this him? Yep, it is. Just pulling in for fuel. Like I say, not many flies on the screen. All the visor in all fairness, just taking off a tear off there. He's going to have a quick slurp of drink, just filling the pattern up with fuel. Not much rest for these boys in the slightest. Now a two-lap dash. He's going to have to push hard because some of these other riders will be very fast on the last lap.
Welcome back to the Isle of Man. We're on lap two of three for the Carroll Nash Super Twin TT. Michael Dunlop leads, but the battle for second rages behind him. Here is Dunlop from the heli on an absolute mission. He's just riding this bike beautifully. Pops another little wheelie. I think that's where he passed Hodgson, isn't it, on the first lap?
Yep, up over Crosby jump as we head down. Whoa!
Herbertson. See, passed Herbertson in almost identical spot, but with that same pace again. That was from Balaguerre, you were saying, was it? He must have epic exit speed through that whole section.
Yeah, and look at the speed he's carried down through Greber Castle. Gorse Lee, and who's in the list to be passed next? Jamie Coward is holding very good pace himself. Don't think Michael will pass him just as quickly.
He did have a little look there, didn't he? Just a look up the inside. He's thought better of it. I guess he can be patient, but still, you don't want to lose too much time.
No, you don't, but he's got a good buffer. Maybe he's just deciding to show that pattern machine a little bit of sympathy.
Paul Jordan through Gorse Lee. Yeah, how much strain are they under? I mean, okay, we go on board now with Coward. How much strain are these machines under?
Plenty. They are a highly strung machine. As I said, out of the factory, about 70 horsepower, and these things are running around or in excess of 100. So they are being pushed to the absolute limit, even with that 11,000 RPM rev limiter.
Still behind at the minute, but still looking smooth through here.
So Helly shows us Jamie Coward at Craig Willey's Hill onto Croncavotti straight. You've got to carry all the drive you can, make the most of that speed, build on it down this long straight, super fast right-hand blind crest.
And whereabouts is Dunlop? Is he closing in? Yes, he is. As we say that, he appears not quite close enough.
Now, in this next section, it's very difficult to pass as we head down towards Hanley's. Very technical, almost a single line through there. Won't be easy for Michael to get by through here. Not with the speed that Jamie Coward's carrying.
Of course, with this race being in the evening as well, Cam, you can see the shadows are much longer. But he's not behind him much longer. Squeezes through on the left-hand side.
That was a pass for the Brave. That was a pass for the Brave. Up the inside into Hanley's. You don't see that every day.
But you can see actually how much exit speed it's cost him coming in there. Not on the ideal line, but still he's got the pass. And we know he's unlikely to be repassed at this stage.
Here goes our flying Frenchman. Pierre Yves-Bain.
Hickman slotting up the inside of Hodgson. Hodgson runs wide. Is that to let Hickman through or is that a mistake?
No, I think he was doing the right thing by Pete, but put himself out in the dirt doing so.
Dunlop with Coward behind. Here's another look at Hickman and that pass. So he comes in tight, took us through it.
Yep, round the outside. Rob probably doesn't know he's there yet. Pete shows the front wheel. Rob does the right thing, moves out, puts himself in the dirty part of the track. Pete looks back, hand up. Always the ultimate professional, both very experienced riders, handled it perfectly.
Fair play to Pete Hickman. There's sin out the corner of his eye that he's compromising there. What great respect between them. Just sorry, mate, I thought you were cool. He obviously took him a little bit by surprise. Good on you, Pete.
Nice onboard shot of Paul Jordan.
Here we are then with the leaderboard. Dunlop by 19.4, but Mike Brown, look, he's just half a second behind and further down. Hickman and Brooks are only a couple of seconds apart as well. Here comes Brooks now. So they're teammates, aren't they? Superbike and now getting into a little tear up here.
Yep, they are. Now we see Michael Rutter on the Bathams Yamaha R7. Oh, Michael, always so smooth. Very experienced competitor and doing well in this class.
Hickman tucking in again. Always amazed how close they are to the hedges, Cam. We saw it on board with Rutter. You see it at the top of St. Ninian's where they're almost an elbow in the hedge just to get the angle they want on the exit. And hedges, yes. Walls, no.
Just have a look at that taco needle really dropping down into the single figures.
So here comes Mike Brown. Now, Mike Brown never had a podium here on the Isle of Man or on board with Hickman.
Have a look. That brilliant shot at the rear of the pattern running a twin shock setup. They're on the two shock absorbers.
That's what you were talking about earlier, yeah?
Yeah, quite old school. Not what we're accustomed to on modern bikes, but it certainly works.
Down to Balaff Bridge. Hickman is trying to find a way past and does just jump towards, I said not walls, and he jumped towards one there, didn't he?
Passing in the air.
Tidily done, but not so tidily done as this man's performance at the end of Solby Strait. Michael Dunlop with a commanding lead. Here comes Herbertson. And this is Paul Jordan. Behind Jordan is Josh Brooks, who's in that fight with Hickman for P4.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll say again, Josh Brooks doing exceptionally well considering he hadn't sat on this Daffabet Racing Kawasaki until practice week here at the TT. Wasn't expecting to ride this bike. He's really taken to it well.
He certainly has, right out to the wall. You know, just got that confidence to use all of the road with it. Knows exactly how it feels underneath him. Here's Hickman. Very fast, gone with it.
He has. He's done very well. He's tucked in right behind Pete and following him closely as we get to the end of Solby Strait.
Just going to have a cheeky look up the inside there, Cam. What's the etiquette on repassing someone who's come from behind you? You know, we know Hickman at this point is 20 seconds up the road because he started, you know, two bikes behind. What's the deal?
If you pass back, you want to be travelling, you want to get out of their way and keep rolling. So unless you've got you've found a serious amount of pace, you're better off to...
Yeah, don't. Just don't.
Wind your neck in.
That's fair. That is fair. You caught a quick glimpse there as well of Mike Brown. You don't want any awkward conversations when you get back to the paddock that you're repassing people. So here's Jamie Coward. Yeah, Mike Brown in that fight with this guy, Jamie Coward. So... Coward on the number 4, Mike Brown on the number 16. Coward's had a podium before in lightweight. Mike Brown has never had a podium at the TT.
Oh, getting a little bit taily there on the way into the turn as that rear tyre's just starting to lose a little bit of its grip later in the race.
Parliament Square, 23.5 miles in. Halfway in this race if we come back to Peter Hickman. I don't think Hickman can get to the podium. I mean, we can't say that about Pete Hickman, can we? But he's a fair way off the podium. So, yeah, he's in a battle for P4.
But, he is. It's just impressive to see how well that bike is going. I keep saying it's a new machine. He had very little to no luck with it during practice and qualifying. Reliability was a big question of that machine, but so far, so good.
So Hickman comes up to Ramsey Hairpin. Dunlop still leads from Coward. Remember, at the minute, we haven't got Mike Brown's time on that board. And here is Mike Brown now, coming down to the same section, into the left-hander. Still high on the RPM, carrying loads of speed as well, using all the road.
Yeah, through White Gates, up through Stella Maris.
And the gap's 1.1, so it's gone up by 0.6 of a second. Coward has just edged out 0.6, but that is not comfortable. These guys are really fighting for P2 as we head into Sector 4. Ramsey Hairpin to the bungalow, uphill, and Cameron, uphill on these bikes is absolutely crucial. Exit speed, isn't it, using all the road, because there just isn't power to spare.
Exactly. Tucking in everywhere you can and holding that throttle wide open. Braking as little as possible. Just trying to carry that momentum as you work your way up this mountain section to the bungalow.
Which is where Michael Dunlop is. Just looking great, isn't he? Looking super, super comfortable.
Yeah, you can see that. Michael's got a lot of experience in smaller bikes as he came through the ranks in years past. 125, 250 cc, two strokes, which is all about tucking in and carrying that momentum. And he's really carried that skill into this class.
Here comes Mike Brown.
Look at the livery on the Burrows Racing machine. Doesn't that look trick?
It does. With the leathers as well, I'm liking it. A little bit of extra effort.
Look at that tuck in, elbows in, chin on the tank the whole time.
Good livery. He's got to be worth a couple of tenths, Cam, hasn't it?
Has to.
Peter Hickman up to the bungalow. Him and Josh Brooks are in that fight together. I'm trying to see what the gap might be between them now. He should trigger the timing line. There he goes. 2.1 seconds. There's still nothing in it for P4 as well. Because, as I say, we're still waiting for Mike Brown to come through and he'll slot back into third. Or can he get second from Coward? It is so close between them. Here he is again.
Yeah, they'd both be receiving pit boards, probably in a couple of different positions around the course. That's all they'd be riding to at the moment. Of course, they can't see their competition, so it really is rider against the course.
Where does he go? On, he's it. So Mike Brown's got it. He moves into P2. He gets Jamie Coward by 0.2 of a second. The pit boards won't change because, Cam, all you get then is either a plus zero or you just get a position, and that tells you that you are in a fight as they come down the signpost corner. Yeah, you got plus one or plus three, you can start to chill, but if there's no split on there, you know you've got to go.
Nah, the race is on.
Welcome back to the Carroll Nash Super Twin TT.
Yeah, we're just waiting on Michael Dunlop to come down the Glen Crutcher Road. Here he comes for his last flying lap, making a bit more history of these. Obviously, this race is going to be great. 24 TT wins in the next 37. There's Jamie Coward.
Coward absolutely pinned through this section, as they all will be. There's that hedge we mentioned earlier, sticking elbow in before Sardinians, left and right. More twists and turns than you think going down Bray Hill. And then out front, this is Dunlop on the last lap. He can roll off a little bit, but behind him, Mike Brown. Oh, he's got 2.1 now. So Brown's got, he's taken another 1.9 seconds off Coward. That's not comfortable. I say, Dunlop can roll off a little bit, and after last year, he might well do.
Yeah, I think he'll really be trying to get this bike home. As I said, they're quite highly strung. As you see, the sun flag on the left-hand side there, just giving the riders caution of that bright afternoon sun over these crests. Jamie Coward pushing hard. He's going to want to close that gap.
He is. It's just a couple of seconds. That's one mistake. It's one deep braking zone, or it's a whole lap of taking a tenth in each corner. It can be done very much. Hickman flipping the throttle on the run down to the right-hander. Coward looked 3.1 behind Dunlop in the Glen Helen section. Through comes Mike Brown.
Oh, a beautiful exhaust note on the pattern.
Sounds mega, doesn't it?
Yeah, look how neat he is too. Nice, smooth under brakes. Keeps the feet on the pegs, elbows up, flicks it into the turn.
arrow straight there, was he? Just dead tidy.
Pitboard on the left.
Hickman is into Glen Helen. We're waiting for that split between Coward and Brown.
He just drops another gear, just keeps that bike on the boil. He's right on board, winding his way up Craig Willey's hill.
Exit speed here, really important.
Crucial.
Here he comes. Brown looking for his first ever podium. Could it be a P2? Oh, he's out in the dirt. If you're in any doubt as to how hard he's tried to earn this podium, he's trying absolutely every trick in the book. And that's maybe pushing his luck a little bit too far.
That's riding a young rider, full of confidence, on fire.
Wow. When the dirt flies up this far into a TT competition, you know, that the clean road there, the right line is clean by now. If you're getting dirt up, you're definitely a bit wide. Oh, Hickman through Kurt Michael. So Brown is still pushing really hard, and we're going to take another look at it. Here it is.
Out wide on the throttle, using all the road and a little bit more. Right-hand side of the white line. That's the first time I've seen that this week.
Wow. Here he is. I wonder if he'll have relaxed by now, Cam, after that moment. Look, that was, yeah.
He's a very determined competitor. I'm pretty sure if you could see inside that helmet now, his teeth would be grit.
They will. They certainly will. What are the gaps? Look. Oh, Coward. Coward's got him back. So that mistake has cost Brown. He's now behind by 0.011 at Blaff Bridge. So he's going to have to fight harder now. So that might be that run wide. I mean, he didn't look like he had to roll off. But still, if you're out in the dirt, you're not on the optimum line. He may have lost a bit of time there, Cam.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Both these riders are pushing as we ride on board with Mike Brown. Again, that taco hard up against the limiter.
Listen to this. End of Selby Strait, Mike Brown, 156.9 miles an hour. Coward is not on that leaderboard for Speed Trap. And when the gap is tenths, hundredths even, he needs to be up there with him so that it continues. The battle continues. Dunlop just chasing the checkered flag now. It's got the mountain section to go. And the pattern will be under some strain over the top of there.
At a glance over the shoulder, you can see how smooth Michael's being now. He's not showing that aggression that he was in the earlier laps. Unlike Jamie Coward, wrist into the turn, no looking back from him. Off with the last tear off, head down for the mountain section.
Coward responding to the pressure from Brown. Such a close fight between these two. I think this is the closest fight this week for a podium spot, definitely. Hickman. Not going to win this year. Took it last year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Change of bike in the meantime.
Still very impressive.
Absolutely, he said, yeah, with the limited time on the machine. Now back to Mike Brown. So this is the fight for P2. That's Brown into White Gates. And with just a few pit boards around here, Cam, and the split times between them being so tight that you can't chill. If you had a pit board every mile, you might have an idea of how you're cracking on, but when you've only got one every few miles, you've just got to keep it absolutely bang on it.
Yeah, and you can't rely on them. It's just a pit board. We've got two riders, two different sections of course on two very different machines.
Brown's back in front by 1.2. So Brown has got back in front of Coward by 1.2 seconds. Very much not a done deal. A little bit more of a done deal for this guy.
Oh, look at the crowd now. They know Michael's getting closer to that next TT win. They're waving him on.
Be another record breaker for him. Any that he takes this week are pushing him closer and closer to the top of that table where Uncle Joey is. Hickman through the bungalow. Oh.
Hear it just bouncing off the rev limiter there. Plenty of crowd cheering on Pete too. Always a favourite with the fans.
I love the way everyone stands up as people come through. It's great. And they get on their feet, yeah, chilling on the grass, and then 15, 16, 17 minutes later, back round, they come on your feet and give them some applause.
And I'm telling you, the riders can see it. You can see that on that last lap. It really lifts your spirits when you see those programs being waved.
I bet it's absolutely fantastic. Up at the bungalow, what's the split going to be between Coward and Brown? Brown's still got it by 1.3 seconds now, but this is going to go right the way down to the checkered flag.
Yep, there is no time to rest.
You're on board with Brown.
Oh, look through the screen there. See the bugs on the screen? Mike Brown will be dealing with a similar state of vision through his visor now, probably used all his tear-offs.
Michael Dunlop, meanwhile, coming down to the start finish line and is going to take his 24th TT win. Moves him into second overall on the all-time list. It's his third win this week, an incredible performance by him. And Mike Brown holds on for P2 from Jamie Coward by just a couple of seconds. Hickman gets fourth, Josh Brooks in fifth, and Pierre-Yves Bihan in sixth.
Michael Dunlop, first place for you there. You could see what that meant to you, the emotion on your face when you came in, and you must be satisfied with that after your result from last year. How was it for you?
Yeah, with being up on it, obviously, last year, the bike sort of stopped. Not stopped in the first lap. We had an issue from the lap one, and then it obviously stopped. She actually stopped, but we had an issue through the week. And I say, Andrea, who builds the motorbike, was to fly in on Sunday, and his flight was cancelled, so he had to drive. So he drove for 2 days to get here. So fair play to him to even just to put that effort in to get here. Bike was fantastic. I just didn't use the best of the bike today. We just nursed it. Andrea told me what to do. And we were nursing it, and the wee bike never missed a beat. I was just trying to keep it steady now, I must say. And it was nice to get another one back under my belt. So I knew from last year, I know him a little bit, but I knew the wee bike was good, and they proved it today.
What, a 30-second lead for you there. Do you think you can get more from the machine?
Listen, I didn't even use the bike was incredible today, and I was fortunate enough to be in that position to be able to calm the bike down. It just calm myself down and just work the lead, you know. The bike's meant faultless, and I didn't, as I said, the bike was it was a dream to ride. Now I must say we made a few changes again with Andrea being here. Yeah, I can't complain now, I must say.
Yeah, first of all, Mike, congratulations, your first time turning into the winner's enclosure here at the TT. How did that feel?
It feels like I get used to it.
Hey, well, that's the plan, I'm sure, because actually this has been coming, hasn't it? You've had a real good sort of 10 days here on all the different solo classes.
Yeah, we had a real good qualifying all week on every bike, and then just with the big bikes, we just went backwards when it came to race day and missed out in the super sport race. So, like, the team worked really hard trying to get the big bikes right, and the disappointment of 600, it's really nice to get the team, give them their buzz back again to keep us going for the rest of the week.
Jamie, what a race that was. It was so close between you and Mike Brown. Just talk us through how that race was for you.
It was really, really good, to be fair. You know, I got caught third and second first up quite easily. Well, not quite easy, but quite quick, you know. So we then I got to the front and just tried to put my own pace on the bit. And then obviously I kind of knew it might be Mike, it'd be there and thereabouts, so obviously on the pattern, you know. So yeah, it's not a shame because it's on the podium, but I'd like to be in second place, but it is what it is. You know, first place is better than nothing, I suppose.
Twenty-four career TT wins now then for Michael Dunlop. I'll tell you what, Grace, I'm not sure I've ever done podium interviews with three more seemingly underwhelmed riders.
I imagine it must be a lot to take in, but hopefully they'll have a bit of time tonight to digest it and realise what a massive achievement it is, because they've got that podium now and no one can take that away from them.
Yeah, Michael Dunlop well used to it, but great to see Mike Brown up there for the first of what he says will be many, Steve.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope he's a bit happier if he finishes higher up on the podium. But no, seriously, a great job, really. You know, they've had a not disastrous, but they've had a bad week at the TT so far with some failures and DNFs. And so it's not just good for obviously Brownie, but for the team as well, for the Brewers team, give them a good lift.
We mentioned it earlier in the week, Steve, whispering it quietly, the 26 wins of Joey Dunlop. Michael now moves to 24. He's got opportunities this week to potentially break that record.
Not easily, but there's a very strong chance it's going to be 25 in the next race. So, hey, anything can happen, but Hickey's got his mojo back. He's put on a good show in a superstock race. So, you know, it's not going to be easy.
Well, it won't be long before we find out. But for now, the sound of the Super Twins becomes quiet as we look forward to the Super Sport and Sidecar Race 2, which will be happening tomorrow. So we'll see you then.